The date was December 13th, and the place was Wednesday night Bible study here at the church. As tradition, we have some food brought by those in attendance, and we do what some of the attendees, the students, they kind of cringe when I do this, but every year I give a quiz. It's a short quiz. It's 18 questions or so. It talks about the section of scripture that we've been studying, and it has a few Christmas questions spattered through it. The exam is multiple choice. It is open Bible, and it is open discussion. So you're welcome to talk with others about what you think the answers may be. And I know that my students are top notch, and I know they all did really well this year. Am I right, students? Thank you for that. I was looking for an amen, but no, yay is good. So this evening, I want to share a little bit from that quiz. But before I do that, here's a couple questions that didn't make the quiz. What did Adam say to his wife today? It's Christmas Eve. What do you call a snowman having a temper tantrum? A meltdown. Thank you. So now you know the style of questions. Actually, here's a couple of questions from the actual quiz that we did this year. The first question, as I mentioned, it's multiple choice. What does the Bible say the innkeeper said to Mary and Joseph? A, there is no room in the inn. B, I have a stable you can use. C, both A and B, or D, none of the above. Now, you can just answer all you want, because the correct answer is D, none of the above. You see, there's no record of an innkeeper saying anything in the Bible. The innkeeper is not even mentioned in the Bible. The correct answer comes from Luke chapter 2, which simply states, because there was no place for them in the inn. Sorry, no innkeeper. Didn't mean to ruin it for you. The second question is this: why did the wise men stop in Jerusalem before going to Bethlehem? Was it A, because there was no room for them in the inn? Was it B, to find out where the new king was born or was to be born? C, to inform Herod that they were there and trying to avoid an international incident? Or D, to buy presents for the new king? The correct answer is B. Matthew chapter 2 says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. The Bible is full of all sorts of things that teach us about what we are celebrating here. We're celebrating the birth of our king. Yet this evening, I want us to look in a completely different place in the Bible. I want to go to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, we're going to see the beginning, because the Apostle John takes us back to the very beginning to show us that Jesus has no beginning. He goes behind creation to show that the baby in the manger was the creator of the world. John doesn't use a narrative, but instead he gives the theology behind the nativity. John's gospel begins with a prologue which gives us some clues as to the identity of the infant in the manger. And it's my hope that this evening that you will not only realize that Christmas is all about Christ, it's Christmas with a capital C, as we look into the reality of Jesus and then our response to him. So please follow along as I read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So here's a bit of a trick question. How old was Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem? Now, the obvious answer is that he was a newborn, so he's newly born. But the reality is, the infant was infinite. He's ageless. As a child growing up, I thought that Jesus got his start when he was born. That he didn't really, like, he was born, so that's when he began. The fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ has always existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is before the beginning of time, as said in John. And in chapter 8, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." You see, he is eternal or infinite because he has always existed. This passage reminds us of the opening words of Genesis, "In the beginning, God." Now the word in this passage is the Greek word logos, which refers to Jesus Christ. And in Greek culture, logos was that which gave meaning to all things. The philosopher Philo said that logos is a bridge between the transcendent God and the material universe. And John is using the term that everyone would have been familiar with, and yet he expands it and transcends its meaning. Since the word is an audible or visible expression of thought, Jesus perfectly revealed what was going on in the mind of God. He is the bridge between God and us. And the Word was with God, indicating that Jesus always existed. And he was in a face-to-face relationship with the Father. Secondly, Christ is the Creator. We see that John writes that through him, all things were made. You see, he is the Lord of life and the Lord of life. And he is the light of the world. Jesus is both the creator and the sustainer of all such things. For in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You see, the Bible begins with the physical darkness in Genesis chapter 1. But to correct this darkness, God said, "Let there be light." You see, God didn't just create physical light, but also spiritual light. Everything he created in the very beginning was spiritually perfect and in union with God. God walked in the garden in order to have community with his creation. But then, well, we got involved. We messed everything up. You see, spiritual darkness spilled into the world in Genesis chapter 3 and can only be removed by the Lord who is life and light. And as the light, Jesus shines into the darkness. And those who have not yet received him are still in the dark and cannot understand him. But many people today don't comprehend the real meaning of Christmas. It's because the world in general has no place for Christ. Ironically, our own Prime Minister just this past week declared that we no longer light up Parliament with Christmas lights, but holiday lights. I don't know why. Just what he does. See, the word overcome means to lay hold of, to seize or to grasp. The darkness cannot ultimately put out the light because light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness is, by its very nature, it refuses to come into the light because darkness and light are mutually exclusive. If you have one, you don't have the other. But John goes on and he continues, and in verse 9, he says that Jesus himself is the true light that gives light to every person. Unfortunately for us, many of us, we'd rather live in darkness than light. And darkness is a reoccurring theme in the Gospel of John. People love one or the other, but not both. Now, years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I remember here at Maranatha, there was a group, it wasn't the youth, but a group of us decided we were going to go and do some caroling in the neighborhood. Those of you who've been around might remember this. I think we only did it once. We went caroling in the neighborhood, and I remember that there was a whole bunch of different reactions and responses that correlate to how some of you might be feeling towards Emmanuel right now. As some ran to the various houses and rang the bell, I noticed that some were just not home. The message came, but nobody was there to hear it. Perhaps you don't know and put yourself in a position where you hear the message of the gospel very often. You're just not home. A few others were too busy. They didn't have the time. Perhaps that describes you. There were a couple homes that had lights on but refused to open the door. In fact, one home, I remember, quickly turned off the lights when they heard us singing. Have you shut the door on spiritual matters? Have you been hiding from God? Others opened the door with big smiles on their faces and enjoyed the music. Some even invited the rest of the home to come and listen, to hear about Christ. Often these homes were really happy, and they thanked us and even applauded. What about you? I trust that since you are here this evening, you're at least willing to open the door. The Gospel of John tells us that there are a few ways to respond to Jesus. You may not recognize him. Unfortunately, even after all Jesus did to dwell among us, verse 10 reveals that Emmanuel is often ignored. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So with all of the chaos of Christmas, it's easy to blow right past the birth of Emmanuel. Everything starts with this truth. Jesus Christ was in the world. He was here for far more than a fleeting visit, having walked on this planet for over 30 years. He was one of us. He lived among us. And we must never allow anything to blind us from the true significance of what happened at Bethlehem so long ago. Nothing can alter the fact that we live on a planet visited by God. See, there's always been this great divide amongst people. When he came the first time, Herod hated him. The scribes ignored him, and there was no room for him in the inn. Only the shepherds and the wise men and the foreigners, the meek and the marginalized, welcomed him to earth. Well, not much has changed as we see the birth of Jesus slipping from our cultural discourse these days. He came to a world he created, and the world just doesn't want to know him. In 1932, Robert McGimsey attended a Christmas Eve service in New York City, and then he headed back to his one-room apartment. As he walked, he had to go by this open door to this club. It was a private club where people were partying. They didn't seem to have a clue that it was Christmas Eve. And if they did, they didn't seem to care. And after stepping over a few people who had passed out on the sidewalk, he thought to himself, what a strange celebration for the most perfect person who ever lived on all the earth. People are missing the whole significance of his life. And when he arrived at home, he scribbled some words down on the back of an envelope. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us. Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you were. I don't know if you've been ignoring Jesus this year, but don't let this Christmas pass without figuring out why Jesus came. Some are apathetic, some ignore Christ, but Christ is the beginning of the word Christmas. That is who he is. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. See, Jesus came to the people who should have known him best, but they wanted nothing to do with him either. Jesus came home to his own people so that they would take him in. They should have known better. They knew that he was coming. Every book in the Old Testament testifies to the great truth that he is coming. And one day, God will send his message to deliver his people, Israel. This is not just a historical fact. It is a profound and theological truth. While the world did not recognize him, and his own people rejected him, there have always been some who receive him. John chapter 1, verse 12 explains clearly how some personally become a Christian. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I want you to notice three key words here. The words believe, receive, and become. To believe means to engage your total being, that you put your trust completely in Christ, an act of the will. To receive means to take or to seize. You have to take hold of him. And the moment that you receive Christ into your life, God gives you the right to become a member of his family. Jesus is the only way to relationship with God the Father. Folks, God loves you. I don't know if you've heard that today. But the most important quiz is not focused on what you know, but who you know. The key is not information, but life transformation. Ponder the mystery found in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. Have you seen, or we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only, the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know where you are, but if, I don't know if you're partying, or if you're singing, or planning on getting together with family. I don't know if you're struggling or grieving or alone. But one thing I do know, because God became a man, he is not unfamiliar with our situation, no matter how good or grievous they are. And I pray that we remind ourselves and each other of that eternal truth. So this evening, I want to give an opportunity for anyone to receive and accept the greatness of Christmas, the greatest Christmas gift of all time. Will you receive him on Christmas Day. The Bible says if you don't receive him, well, then you've already rejected him. Make Christmas one with a capital C, making Jesus Christ of your life. In a moment, we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And one of the lines says this, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. If you're ready to believe and receive so that you could be born again and become God's child, I invite you to pray along with me this evening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, for far too long, I have kept you out of my life. I confess that I am a sinner, and I can't save myself. I no longer close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. Thank you for coming to this earth. I acknowledge that you are the infinite, that you are the creator, that you are life and light itself. With all my heart, I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins, that you rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe and I receive you as my Savior so that I can be born again and become your child. Come dwell in my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Christ, my Redeemer, my Lord and Savior. Amen.